The following is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
Thank you very much for taking the time to allow me to share with you. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your kindness and goodness. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your power that does work through your word. Thank you for how you are building your church, and pray that you use this time to encourage our hearts and grow our love for you, grow our vision for how we look forward to seeing your glory made known in other parts of the world. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you that you are mighty and you will hold us fast, as we sang earlier. Pray in your son's great name. Amen. Amen. So if you would, I'd love to share three brief encouragements from Scripture with you. If you have a Scripture with you, look with me, if you would, to Psalm 46. So I'll read the chapter for us, and then I'd like to point out three encouragements from verses 10 and 11. And before I read the chapter, let me ask the question, what would you say is the most fundamental reality that shouldn't go unstated? Anyone? Yeah, I'm sorry. What would you say most fundamental reality that we should be aware of, or that shouldn't go unstated? Okay, thank you. The gospel. Okay, yeah. Let me read the psalm for. I'm sorry. The existence of God. Thank you. Yes, let me read the psalm for us. And verse 10 shows us that exactly what you said. So Psalm 46, to the choir master of the song Sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. This is the ESV, by the way. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah, in verse 8, he continues, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. Verse 9, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. In verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So in verses 10 and 11, we see three encouragements. The first of which is, this is for the Christian life and for missions. And the first is clearly in verse 10. And this is there's a reason this is a very well-known verse. I trust you may know it. Be still, or cease striving, or stop. Or Holman Christian Standard says, stop fighting, or relax, and know. First person, God is speaking. He's saying, stop and know that I am God. And that's the fundamental reality that shouldn't be unspoken, or that I need to remind myself of regularly. And that's the reason for the Christian life and the reason for missions, because God is God. We can't move away from that. And that's a joy if we know the God through the gospel. And that's the fuel and the reason and the starting point for the Christian life and for missions, that God is God. And that's a good thing. And the second thing is, what does he say further in verse 10? He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There's the confidence for the Christian life, the confidence for missions. If you know Christ yourself as your Savior and Lord, then your desire is that he would be glorified in your life. And isn't it therefore encouraging? And doesn't it give us confidence if God says here in this text, I will be exalted among the nations and the earth? And that's the reason that in the Christian life and in missions, we don't have to be afraid that it's all in vain, because God will exalt himself one way or another. And so that is a wonderful reality, that God is God and he will exalt himself. It's a humbling reality, since we are not God and never fully comprehend what it means for God to be God, but he is alone, supreme, as the creator, redeemer of his own. He makes wars to cease as he speaks, and the earth trembles, as we read earlier in the psalm, and that he will be exalted. So that's the confidence for the Christian life and for missions. And then the third reality, verse 11, I'd like to encourage you with is, I'll read the verse again. He says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That God is with his people. That's the comfort for the Christian life and the comfort in missions. Even though we may be in 2 years in a new place all on our own, we are not completely on our own because God will be with his people. So that's, I hope, encouraging for you that in these few verses of Psalm 46, the scriptures remind us that we can be still and know he is God, he will be exalted, and he is with his people. So those are three timeless truths, timeless realities that I hope are an encouragement and a comfort. And they tie into Christian life today, they tie into missions, they tie into work and everything in life, because there's nothing greater than the one and only true God. So I just wanted to mention that, because all of that relates to all that I'll try to share about the Czech Republic and missions. So thanks to God's goodness in my life and my wife's lives, then we know God through the gospel, through his mercy, and we desire to make God known to those who don't yet know God. And yeah, I grew up in the Czech Republic, and there's a great need there. Probably maybe a third of 1%, maybe a half of 1% in the country are true evangelical believers. And maybe there are possibly 10 very small churches in the whole country that you recommend. And so there's a great need for the gospel. And our desire, our prayer is that in the course of our lives, God would show his glory by planting many churches that are faithful to his word, so that the knowledge of him would be spread, so that other people would know he is God. And so that it would be through the salvation of more and the condemnation of those who reject him, that he is exalted. I'm thankful to share a few things with you. This is the Czech Republic, Europe. We're in Central Europe. Czech Republic borders Poland, Germany, and Austria, and Slovakia. I believe I have a map here. So there's the Czech Republic. Prague is the capital, and Kladno is where we're currently ministering in a local church there. That's about a half hour, 40 minutes from the capital. A few interesting facts. The Czech Republic has a population that's roughly the same as Michigan, but the size of the Czech Republic is about half of the size of Michigan in terms of land. Also, in terms of traveling, you could fly to the Czech Republic for maybe $700, $800 now if you'd like to. But a lot of people travel in the Czech Republic, some by car, but some people don't have cars, so they use public transportation. They have trams, metros, trains, buses a lot. Most Czechs that live in the Czech Republic, most people that live there, are atheistic. So there is no religion. Maybe Catholics, so like maybe 4 or 5%, or very small. But the average person would tell you they don't believe anything, really, or they don't believe there's a God. Maybe there's something. But it's kind of a post-Christian, secular, that's the sense people, most people don't claim to be any sort of religion. In terms of politics, it used to be Czechoslovakia, and it was under communism from 1948 to 1990. So it's interesting that that's some of their background. Czechs tend to be distrusting, they don't do a lot of small talk. They don't smile as much. They're usually not as friendly, generally. They have friends, but they're usually like fewer and kind of like closer, longer-term friends. Just generally speaking, the country entered the EU in 2004, and in 1993 it split from Czechoslovakia to the Czech Republic and Slovakia. So just a little bit of the background there for you to get a picture of that. So this is Kladno. These were built in the these are called věžáky, like towers. They were built in communism during the time of communism. But a lot of Kladno used to be a mining town. It existed because there was coal there, and there was a huge steel factory nearby. So it's not a very popular town in terms of city, not a place you'd visit as a tourist. The population is 70,000, not far from Prague. I grew up not far from Gladno. My parents are missionaries, so it's a big blessing that going back 3 years ago, I could function or I didn't have to start from scratch learning the language. So I'm thankful I have friends from playing soccer when I was a kid. They still don't know the Lord yet, but it's a blessing to have some connections rather than starting completely from scratch. Just some pictures of the church in Gladno, we had a couple of baptisms every month. We sing happy birthday to people that had birthdays that month. So it's a big blessing that we're able to plug in serving at the church here in Gladno. And there are currently two elders there. They're equipping men, and Lord willing, in the upcoming years, there will be more elders. But it's definitely different than here because most Christians in the church don't have Christian parents, elderly examples. Most Christians are first generation. So to have like a family, we have parents that are more advanced in years and have middle-aged or younger kids that are growing up in the Christian faith is extremely rare or non-existent. So just a couple more slides about the church ministry there. Yeah, this is the small groups. This is our house where we're staying every other week. We have like a home group or care group sort of thing. It's a Bible study and we sing some songs, worship songs. And then this gentleman is a really neat guy. His name is Paul. He has four kids and they also host it. This is their house over here. So they're a neat family of the church as well. Different families of the church. Yeah, it's neat to see God's grace working at the church there. I have some more pictures here. Every month, usually there's a men's and women's Bible study the first Saturday of the month, so there's the little kids program. And Marcus Denny here is the missionary that's in Gladno, that's the main pastor. So he's been there about 15 years. So he and his family serve at the same church as well. This is the men's study on Saturday. This is another men's study. This is the monthly one. This is like the weekly one. So there's a lot going on. It's a smaller church. It's considered like a mega church in the Czech Republic because the average church is maybe like 40 or 50 people there. So this has like 80 people on a Sunday, you know. So it's interesting, different. This is the Thursday moms groups. Natasha leads those. It's just an informal time, but also a time in the Word that they've started going through Mark. So she's a believer. She has two kids. I think she has two kids. I think they just had their second, I think. No, I'm sorry, they only have one kid. So there are other families that have more small kids, but they don't have a second kid yet. But she's a believer, but she's a friend who's not a believer, which we're excited that she's coming and hearing from Scripture some truth. So just want to share a little bit, and then if you have any questions, we'll be happy to try to answer them. His name is David, and I grew up with him playing soccer, so he's not a believer. He's not totally opposed to the gospel, but he's not, like, asking questions. So if you think to pray for him, that would be great. And you could pray for her as well. She's not a believer. Her name's Lenka. Her husband is named Mark, and they both are open to Scripture, and we've started, like, we've only met twice, but we started a Bible study with them as well. So we're really excited how it seems like God's working in their lives. They come to church once every, like, maybe 4 months or 3 months, so not often. He drives trucks a lot, so he's gone. But you could pray for her and him. He's not in the picture, but she's like a distant Czech relative because I'm quarter Czech, my dad's half Czech. My grandma is, like, Czech, so. That's him there, actually, Mark. He's the one who drives trucks. Yeah. This is a neat guy. His name is Paul. He just got engaged a few weeks ago, and I think they're going to be married soon, but the Lord brought him to the church a couple years ago. He and his now fiance were listening to sermons online for like a year or two, and they were extremely hesitant to come to the church because they were living in sin. She was not a believer and telling him it's fine to live together, and they came to the church, and they were like outside in the parking lot, like really not unsure whether to go in or not. And they kind of came closer. I just heard the second hand. And then you have to go up the steps. You have to go inside and you have to go up the steps to the first floor and then you enter like the main room. We meet at a hotel. But they were extremely uncertain of themselves because they wanted to hear Scripture. He was a believer already, but she wasn't yet. But you know, they were living in sin. So they were like wanting to hear scripture, but also kind of want to visit the church. But they were really uncertain. But so they kind of came closer, and then somebody saw them and say, hi, welcome, you know, and then they came in. But thankfully, she got saved, his now fiance, I think a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. But then she was baptized. So it's really neat. Natasha and I have been able to take time to spend with them, try to help them with preparation for marriage. She's married before and divorced. But it's really neat that they're really teachable and want to honor the Lord and very open. So it's really encouraging to spend time with them as well. He has unbelieving family, of course, that we pray for. Yeah, that's Bavel again. That's Yana. She's the wife of that guy, Paul, if you remember. They had four kids. That's just a picture from nearby in the city of Kladno. We do we try to do every month a little effort at evangelism on the street if people are out and about in parks. So it's a great way. I try to serve the men in terms of cultivating a heart for the lost and helping them kind of lead the thing so that it's not just like us trying to do evangelism, of course, but it's the church. So we trust that serves the church as well in a small way. So, yeah, like Paul said in Philippians, what a priority for him was the advance of the gospel. So it's a way to try to serve the church in the same way. So then you could also pray. So overall, we're thankful. It's been encouraging, and we've been thankful to be a part of the church in Kladno. And they're great. There are a lot of needs as people come. Slowly, it's growing. Kind of similar to here, we're looking at other places because we don't have enough room, which is great. And with more people, of course, there are more shepherding needs. So we want to be sensitive to the church with what's needed, how we can help the elders and the needs and the big picture for the church. And we were sent to church plant. So we're praying and looking forward to, in time, maybe 2027, of moving south 2 hours to another city called Budjovice. I can go back here just to give you an idea. So here is the Czech Republic as a whole. That's Prague here, and then Kladno down to the left, but straight down in about here or here, if you see, toward Austria is the city called České Budějovice. There are 100,000 people or so there, which is bigger than Kladno, and there's no church that you could recommend, no faithful witness to the gospel that holds to the authority of Scripture and has a high view of Scripture. So we are thinking of relocating there in the future. There are others. It's really encouraging that people at the church have huge hearts for the gospel to go out to. So there's a couple that's interested in that would be willing maybe to relocate and change jobs to serve in the new ministry as well. And then there's another single guy who's also open to that and growing at the church. So that's really encouraging. We could really pray that the Lord would just guide our steps, that we would do whatever pleases Him. Because it's great, you know, there's no church there, so it's great need. You know, there's growing needs of the church in Kladno, so you know, we need wisdom to navigate that as well. So you could definitely pray for that, that there more people there could hear the gospel, that the Lord would sovereignly direct it. So that's České Budějovice. These are my parents that lived in the Czech Republic 13 years. We visited České Budějovice with them, and the Lord sovereignly, graciously used them to start the church in Kladno that we're now a part of. So it's a joy to kind of historically kind of be involved in the ministry of Czech Republic with that as well. So, yeah. So I just put the verse here from Romans. As Paul said, he quoted the old, he was quoting, they who had no news of him shall see, they who have not heard shall understand. You know, there are a lot of people that, like one younger lady I talked to at one of the monthly evangelism times in a park nearby, Kladno, and I was telling her about the God of the Bible and you know, something about the gospel and the truth and such. And for her, it's like a totally, and for many other Czechs, it's a totally new universe. Like, it's just something foreign. It's something new. So it's interesting. Many who haven't heard have yet to hear. So we definitely appreciate your continued prayers that God would advance His kingdom and guide us in that pursuit. So this is another city that needs the gospel. They need to recognize God is God, as Psalm 46 mentions. So that's a little bit about the Czech Republic. If you have any questions or any specific things I could try to answer, please.
I know you were talking a little bit at the beginning about how they're an atheistic country.
Yeah.
Before communism, were they already atheistic, or did they have Catholicism? You might have said that, and I didn't quite catch it.
Yeah, good question. So the question was, I mentioned they're an atheistic country, but you're asking if before communism, if it was different, if they were more religious or Catholic. And yes, you're right. The before communism, maybe, I'm not sure how far back, but it wasn't like that before communism at all.
Okay, so yeah. Communism, yeah. They
right,
out.
Right. They,
and
yeah.
Then, so now what we're seeing as a result, even though they're post-communistic,
right.
You're seeing this. And
exactly.
That's why it sounds so unusual.
Right, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. But during communism in the schools, and they had the kids say, like, there is no God and stuff, things like that, it changed the mindset of the people. It's very interesting. Is that?
Yeah.
And thank you.
I was curious, Yugoslavia. Was there a Yugoslavia at one time? Country?
Yes, that I believe is east, southeast of the Czech Republic. Oh, okay. Excuse me. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right.
So Yugoslavia is now Croatia.
Thank you. Yeah. Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You mentioned the lack of churches that you would recommend.
Yeah.
Are there other Protestant churches that are there? Are they cults?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, the country as a whole. Yes, there are other, the Jehovah's Witnesses are there, and Seventh-day Adventists, very small, not many, but there are as well. And there are other, like, there are Baptists there, but, like, the head of the Baptists in the Czech Republic, like, shook hands with the Pope and called him, like, the brother in Christ. And so, you know, I think they don't seem to be holding faithfully to Scripture and such, yeah. There are other, like, the denomination that my parents initially started with is called the Church of the Brethren. Their roots are solid, maybe 100 years back, maybe farther, but... yeah, in terms of like just allowing serious sin and having a lower view in use of scripture, my parents at that time, didn't believe they could continue serving when they learned more about, how it was once they were part of the church sometime. Yeah, good question, yeah. Yeah, I don't think they care much because it's kind of too small to do anything yet. Yeah. Good question. They're not hostile in any way. Like, they're not like pro, you know, like more religion, I would say. But yeah. Yeah, it's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for asking. The question was, if we moved to this city in the south, would it be just our family, or would anyone go with us? And I'm not sure, right, to put it briefly. I think we hope that there would be others. We want to be patient and zealous and wise and trust in the Lord. Yeah, so there are others that are interested, but we don't have any concrete like commitments or plans in that sense. Yeah, we're talking with the elders in the Czech Republic, in Kladno, and of our sending church on the other side of the state here about kind of more specifics, what the Lord might have. But yeah, I definitely appreciate prayers with that for whatever please the Lord. And, yeah, nice. Thank you. In the back.
Mm-hmm.
What's the cost of becoming a Christian, or what repercussions does that have on someone? Good question. Largely, it depends, I think, on the family. Some may not be too hostile or have too much of a negative reaction to it, but others may be kind of like distanced, like, you know, it's a crutch, or like you're kind of stupid or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, nothing, I think, like, extreme, but it would vary on the family, I would say. Yeah, good question. Yes?
How big is Islam in Czech
Republic? Good question. Islam has virtually no presence in the Czech Republic. It's very interesting, yeah. And it may be for multiple reasons, but possibly because the language is difficult, So to kind of like integrate Czechs, like you to learn the language, and it's not easy. Yeah, but I'm sure there are other factors that may be part of it. That's interesting. Any other questions? Yeah, it's similar to here. The apartment we have is roughly like $1,500 a month, where we're at near the airport in Kladno. Yeah, it's a newer apartment, nothing fancy, but yeah, relatively small for like probably comparable to normal things here, or maybe smaller. But for Czech standards, it's probably a little bit bigger than, maybe slightly bigger than what an average Czech family would have with kids. Mm, good question. Yes.
My question was, what does your week look like? Because you mentioned you had a pastor in your church. So what is your, like, what is your responsibility throughout the week?
Good question. Thank you. So the question is, what are my responsibilities during the week? It's somewhat undefined, but in a way, we kind of help with everything in the church. So I help with preaching and I help with admin. I oversee the youth group and the like evangelism thing. Usually twice a week, Natasha has Czech lessons to continue learning the Czech. And so I about half the day help with the kids, and then maybe work or study from home. Usually Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Fridays and Saturdays. Sometimes Saturdays I go into the office, and I usually meet with Marcus and another brother or two. Every week, maybe every other week, just regarding ministry. And every other week there's an elders meeting as well. And then we try to fill in as much flexible time with, when you have your groceries bought and stuff you need, of course, then to take opportunities with the lost. So maybe existing relationships or getting to the neighbors better. We've had them over a few times. Other avenues of making the gospel known, like with the Christians in the church or on our own. Yeah, so it's kind of a mix. It varies a little bit, but there's always plenty to do to work on. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, good question. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes, in the back. Yes, we're in the States until September. So thank you for asking. We initially weren't planning to be back this summer, but we had a visa issue. They canceled my permanent residence, and therefore my wife and kids' visas were all like not in good standing, because I was in the past gone from the country more than 6 years in a piece, and evidently if that happens, then they cancel it for you. So I had to reapply, and while we were waiting for it to be granted, or because without the valid residence, that we couldn't stay, so we left in May to legally follow the rules. And thankfully, they approved our visas at my residence thing, so we're flying back in September. We were staying the whole summer since to make the most of the time back, and we were initially planning to visit another supporting church in August in Oregon as well. So, and also, we're kind of back longer to reconnect with the church in Michigan, in the other side of Michigan, in near Detroit, that sent us out to talk about, to consider prayerfully what the Lord would have in terms of like planning for a church plan and such as well. So we're back this summer, kind of unusually because of the visa issue, and thankfully that was the Lord graciously answered prayers. That's, we don't expect that to be a problem. Yeah, thank you for asking. In the back, Gay? So just a second if you don't mind, Peter, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you for asking. So the question was, what are people's general responses to being approached about scripture, the gospel, and such on the street?
Even just talking on the
street. Yeah. So it seems like it might be changing a little bit with the younger generation, that they're not as like kind of closed and uninterested in talking or unfriendly. But it definitely varies in terms of talking about spiritual things or the gospel. Then some people are willing to talk. Other people definitely are like, no, I'm not a believer and I'm going to die. I don't care about anything you have to say, sort of thing. You know, certain people just don't want to take time to talk, of course. But other people, once in a while, will appreciate it and express some interest in talking and maybe coming on Sunday or something else as well. So it definitely is a mix, I would say. Yeah, good question. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, a few questions. One, did you say they are part of the U or whatever?
Yes, they are part of the U. Yes.
If you had to say like major like ideological trends in the society, are they against communism, or is it moving against it, or more towards democratic type society, or capitalist versus? How would you describe things?
Yeah, I definitely describe it as against communism because they live through that and it's not theory or just, you know. So, yeah, definitely. It's interesting how even though they're not communistic anymore, then you can sense like the kind of leftovers of that, like the way they do things, the way things work, kind of like when we had our second. Child than like in the hospitals. It's not like, it's not bad, but it's interesting. It's kind of more programmatic and structured. It's not like whatever you want, we'll kind of try to adjust to how you prefer things. It's kind of like, this is what we do it, you know, sign up, and like, this is how it's going to go, sort of thing. It's interesting just because, so that's interesting.
You've said it's like top down control or more, the government. Does it kind of go unquestioned or?
Yeah, it is democratic, so I wouldn't say it's like, there's not a sense of like control like that, I would say. But there is more of a sense like fitting in there is considered like a good thing. Like I think in the States, like, you know, being unique is considered kind of like neat or something positive, but there is like fitting in is positive. And if you're kind of different, then you're questionable or I don't know, you know. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, good question. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what are the biggest challenges to doing ministry, considering the cultural culturally aspect? Yeah, very good question. I think perseverance, like with interpersonally, to make the gospel known, because people generally are not very responsive or interested, and just building relationships. Like one example is the second elder at the church in Kladno. He initially lived across the street from us in a small town called Lidice, and we lived there like 9 years. And my parents pursued him with the gospel for like 7 years. And we prayed for him for 7 years. And my parents had him over. My dad would like ask to borrow tools or just try to be in contact with different things for the sake of building a relationship and share the gospel more. He came to these English camps we did every year to share the gospel, where people were taught English and then they would hang out with teams from the States and hear the gospel. And then there was an evening session where the gospel was presented. And he came to those as well. And initially, he would like, you know, have fun and do some things. But then in the evenings, he would like, we didn't know, but he would make fun of the things that were said. Like, you know, it's like, this is, you know, nonsense type of stuff. Because he's an intelligent man. He was a professor. He's a professor at a university, one of the most respected universities in the Czech Republic. But after 7 years, it was a process, of course. So he started coming to a little Bible study. And then, like, he came one evening wanting to give some money to the church, and Dad said, you know, like, the Lord doesn't need your money, like, you know. And he reminded him of the gospel again. And in time, he came to know the Lord, and he believed, and, you know, he's grown, and now he's an elder of the church. So, you know, this is, I don't know, 20 years later or something. So I think just perseverance with, like, daily faithfulness of seeking to make the gospel known, you know, true to Scripture and living according to it, and then, you know, in pursuing people, with the gospel, whether that's, you know, initially strangers or just, you know, the same person over and over in different ways. So I would say that would be, maybe I would view as one of the biggest challenges of ministry because it's so slow, you know, like 7 years. It's like, but, you know, if that's, but, yeah, if that's part of it, and that's what I was. Good question.
I write about ideas about or thinking about your family dynamics. First of all, will you be homeschooling your children when they get old enough, or will you be sending them to the local school, or what do you have available for your family? And then how are you, do you speak English in your home all the time, or what do you do so the kids are learning?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah. So the question is whether we're planning on homeschooling or public schooling or something. Yeah, yeah. And then at home, do we speak English or Czech? Yeah, at home we usually speak English. We try to speak more Czech because I speak decent Czech. I do make mistakes once in a while, so I try not to include those when talking at home so Natasha doesn't learn, of course, and the kids don't learn mistakes. But we usually speak English at home. And in terms of schooling, then, I'm not sure. It probably depends on the school. We want to start them in public school, I think, like my parents did us, and it worked out well for learning the language and getting plugged in. We did a lot of soccer after that, and we were homeschooled when I grew up, so I'm not sure. It'll probably depend on the teachers, the environment, and where we're at. So we'll see with that. Yeah, but you can definitely appreciate your prayers for the language, because it is a tricky language, and I can keep improving, but Natasha's doing a good job persevering at it. Thank you.
Is your wife from the States, or is she from Czechoslovakia?
Yeah, she's from the States. Yeah, yeah. She grew up in Washington and Spokane, Washington. Yes, yeah, yeah. So it's a foreign country. Yeah, another question? Any other questions? I think you're asking. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Good question. Yeah. In the Czech Republic, then anybody can homeschool, but they just have to be kind of like signed up or connected to a school that'll do their transcripts or verify, you know, the test results or what they should be and such. But it's not very common. Yeah, it's quite rare overall. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for asking. Good question. Any other questions? Or? Oh, thank you very much. Yes, in the back. Sure, yeah, definitely. So Natasha could probably tell it better than me, but I started seminary in Kentucky at Southern after graduating from the University of Michigan in Dearborn. And I knew of her because she was at the church where my uncle actually pastors in Spokane, Washington, and I have extended family, grandparents and cousins out there. And my brother was going to church out there, and he was studying a graduate program in Spokane. And so I wanted to contact Natasha, because I visited Spokane and I asked my cousin, like, how would you rate her in terms of godliness? And he rated her very highly. So I thought, that's great. So then I wanted to reach out to her, and Dad suggested, why don't you wait till you see him in person? And I didn't really want to wait, but thankfully I was able to visit there. And so we talked a little bit. And we started interacting long distance. And after like a year or two or so, then I had transitioned to finishing seminary in California at the Master Seminary. And then we got engaged, and then she moved down for the final semester. Yeah, we got married, and then worked in Michigan for 4 years and plugged back into the church in Berkeley. And by God's grace, I was then ordained. The Lord set us out to the mission field almost 3 years ago. Yeah. So our children are almost 4 years old. Sophia is the oldest. She's starting preschool in the fall, Lord willing, in the Czech preschool. So we're looking forward to that. Seems like it should be good. We got her signed up and did the little visit thing. And we thankfully have friends that have a kid that's also going to that preschool. And then our second child is Peter, and he's 2. Then our youngest is David, and he's 9 months. So we have those 3. We're thankful for them. Yeah, they keep us trusting the Lord and praying and learning to grow in patience. Yeah, thank you for asking. It was a joy to be with you. Thanks for taking the time to ask questions and pray for us whenever you think to. Started then in Scripture, as we know, we can and have the privilege of being still and knowing God truly. And we can look forward to seeing him exalting himself. You know, whether that's 7 years, 70 years, or 7 months, or whatever then the Lord is mighty. And we can be thankful that he is always with his people in their trials and their joys. Yeah.
Could you repeat verse 10?
I could translate it from the English, but I don't know how good it translate how it compares to the Czech translation. It would be best if I had the Hebrew and if I could read it. But verse 10 is, I'm trying to remember the translation. I'm not sure. It's like, but yeah, I could just translate it. So maybe something like Buddha Chestain. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. John 3:16 is neboť Bůh God, neboť Bůh tak miloval svět, miloval loved, neboť Bůh tak miloval svět, že dal svého jediného syna, aby žádný, kdo v něho věří, nezahynul, ale měl život věčný. Yeah, so život is life in Czech. Věčný is forever eternal.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. Right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate this time to share about God's grace and his power at work. Thank you for your prayers. Please continue praying. We really appreciate it, and we know God hears and answers in his time and his ways. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Just a few questions. First, starting with, because the town you're at is called Glenow, right?
Right.
So I wonder, how did that start? Because you said people don't seem to be very, you know, smiling very often. Did somebody went and ask, are you glad? And they said, glad? No. So is that how we started, or?
Say that again?
So did somebody ask them a question, say, are you glad? And they said, glad?
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
So just kidding.
Yeah, so my parents went to Kladno and joined an existing denomination. And after, I think, I'm not sure how long, but then they had to leave the denomination. And one or two families went with them, and then one family moved somewhere else. But slowly they had developed relationships with different people. Some people were Christians from other places that came and joined. Other people heard the gospel and believed. But it was, my dad mentioned that sharing the gospel there is like sowing seed like on concrete. Like sometimes it falls in the cracks. And sometimes it'll grow up, but you know, it just requires trust and perseverance.
What's good to get to here? If you like, you can see it and we can ask more questions. But it sounds like Budovice is sounds like a more happier town than this one. So, The Jovice in the end, it's similar to how you write the word in English, you know, rejoice, except the re, Jovice is in the end. So, anyway, it's just a joke from coming from, you know. European, you read the same way you write it, so you know it's. You're like, what is he talking about? thank you, Matthew, for sharing. That's a great encouragement to see how God is using us, which is incredible that God would even use us, and it's humbling, but at the same time, it's. It causes us to praise the Lord and give thanks for the great work that He's doing in other people's lives, and knowing all the more that He has worked in our own lives as well. And in some regards, it's similar to Albania, although I would say in Albania people are very much open to talking about anything. Really, it's like Paul going to Athens, and they were just open to talk. Hey, what's the new topic we're going to talk about? But in terms of actually being open to come to church, there'll be a different story. But yeah, it's amazing to see how years in the making, you know, the second elder came along. That is great. But yeah, a question: how can we support you and your family, your ministry, and you know, how can we pray for you in this upcoming years? And also, what is the after that, I'll ask the second question. But
yeah, I would say definitely just like wisdom and faithfulness with like daily life in terms of knowing, like putting our time in different people in the church or people that don't yet know the Lord, being faithful, of course, with the children, raising them to fear and love the Lord, teaching them well. Yeah, so I think just like normal life things in a way, faithfulness with that and growing holiness for ourselves, that we'd be more and more useful, like you referenced. Definitely your prayers. And if you have a moment to write and say, you know, praying for you or whatever, we definitely appreciate that. It's very encouraging to hear from you whenever that would be possible. Yeah, so definitely in those ways, and certainly with wisdom in terms of working with the elders in Kladno and kind of like planning in a way, by God's grace, you know, in a way, like planning the things that will affect the future of the church in Kladno and wanting to go to Budjovice. You know, we want to be doing whatever pleases the Lord, and you know, there are always greater needs than a growing church. So there's a tension, you know, and you can help by God's grace serve in that way. But if you just, there always will be at the same time growing needs in a growing church. So, you know, good thing, part of the equation. And at the same time, there are places that need, that don't have any church at all. So we just want wisdom and to have good communication and with considering the future steps down the way. So in that regard, and if you have time or would be interested to like visit, then we'd love that to show you the church. And if you'd be interested in like serving for like a couple weeks or 6 months or like a year or in some way, especially in like the church plant, that could be a huge, like very much tangible blessing to the ministry. We trust the Lord will start there. So really, I know my parents had some couples sometimes for 6 months, a year or 2 years, and they were a huge help. You know, you don't have to be flown in Czech to be able to serve. But that's just as well. Yeah.
That's good, because you already scared us with the difficulty of language, you know, learning language. So
but it's a lot of people speak English.
Yeah,
actually.
You don't need to be fluent. So if you can say hi, that's a good Christian, you know, character. So that's good. Also, how long do you plan to stay in Czech Republic? Is it is there like a certain amount of time that you plan to, and then we'll see what the Lord will do? What is the plan?
Yeah, good question. Thank you for asking. I think we're not sure. We it may be for like our lifetime with visits, of course, back. And I was just talking the other day with my parents about when my older brother started college, they came off the field. So I was asking them like how to make that decision and why and such. So I think currently we're leaning toward, Lord willing, if things in our family are fine and in order and such, that we would stay long-term indefinitely. But we'll see, yeah.
That's good to see. Obviously, you know, God will direct the steps. But that's a good perspective to have in mind, because I think mission doesn't just play out in a couple of years or even in decades. You have to think in those terms of, you know, decades and maybe even lifelong service. But yeah, may the Lord bless you guys and strengthen you in that. Also, for those people who want to reach out, whether by email or writing a letter, is there any way of contact that you have available, and where can they find that?
Sorry, I actually forgot to go to the last slide. Excuse me. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm not sure if you can see that. I just put my email up, but if you just send me a note, we send out every week. Every week or two, we try to send out a brief update, like answers of prayer, and then how to keep praying. If you'd like to be included in that, we'd definitely love to keep you more updated.
Are they in the church directory?
They are under the missionary section. So, yeah. But I thought to say, just so that, you know, people are aware, because not everybody is necessarily looking. I mean, I had to look. I was like, oh, yeah, we have actually sections for missionaries. And it's like, yeah, that's nice. So, yeah, I thought maybe it would be helpful to mention it. Okay, Matthew, would you please close us in prayer as
sure.
We arrive?
Definitely. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time that we could talk about what you're doing for your glory in the Czech Republic. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives, that we can know you and according to your truth. Please help us to trust you and love you and make the most of the days that you've entrusted us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be part of a local body. Thank you for your faithfulness and grace here. We pray that you would help each of us to look forward to seeing how you will exalt yourself. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting us with the message of hope, with the only message of life, the message of the gospel. I pray you'd help us to be faithful to make you known and to grow in knowing you ourselves. Thank you for this time, and we pray that you would advance your kingdom throughout the world and more so also in the Czech Republic. And we thank you for your son. Thank you for sending him for us to have abundant life and forgiveness. And we look forward to his return, and we pray in his name. Amen.
You've been listening and presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.